The following views and opinions do not necessarily reflect those of this station, its staff, management, Franklin Communications, or parent company. To hear a replay of this show or one of the other great shows that previously aired, log on to dentallyspeaking.com or iTunes, keywords Dr. Kvitko or Dentally Speaking. Listeners should not use Dr. Kvitko's comments and advice in place of an actual dental exam.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Time now for Dentally Speaking with Dr. Brian Kvitko. Call 459-9769. That's 459-WSNY to discuss your dental issues. Now, here's your host, Dr. Kvitko.
You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. Our show is also known as Everything You've Always Wanted to Know About Dentistry, but we're too numb to ask. Thanks so much for joining me today. And today with me on the show is Dr. Michael Simmons. He's a DMD, which is kind of like the same thing as a DDS. It's a degree that is most likely conferred on East Coast by East Coast Dental Schools, correct, Dr. Simmons?
Yes, correct.
Yeah, it stands for Doctor of Dental of Metal. I'm sorry, Doctor of
Medical Dentistry.
Medical Dentistry. And DDS is Doctor of Dental Surgery, but we're pretty much all one and the same. Dr. Michael Simmons has formalized postdoctoral medical and dental school training in oral facial pain and dysfunction conditions. He's a diplomat of the American Board of Oral Facial Pain and a fellow in the American Academy of Oral Facial Pain, amongst many other awards and professional positions. He has also written a book, which we're going to talk about later in the interview, called Bots, Dots, and the Rumble Line, How They Save the Trees in Snorton. It's a children's book, very cute. Great illustrations, and I read it, and I think that it's really, we'll talk about it more. It's definitely very important work that he's doing there. But I want to start with some of the more mundane, because the book was so much fun, but we have to start with the mundane. And I guess I just want to, we hear so much about sleep apnea, sleep disordered breathing, all of that. What is sleep? Can you just give me your definition of sleep? Because, I mean, you gave a great one earlier. I just want my listeners to hear it.
Well, sleep is one of those necessary components of life. We talk a lot about nutrition and exercise, but if you were thinking about the three most important things, sleep is the one that's just not so spoken about, and we take it for granted. If we don't have enough time in the day to get everything done, the thing that we sacrifice is our sleep. And our whole society is changing because of it. We have issues where kids are texting and staying on the computer and playing video games. And
all at the same time, by the way.
Yes, they multitask very well.
What's your accent? I forgot to ask you.
Originally, I'm from Britain, London.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay. We have a favorite comedian over there, Eddie Izzard. Are you familiar with Eddie Izzard?
Oh, I don't know him.
You don't know him? Well, he probably doesn't know you either. Anyway, getting back to the interview, I'm sorry. Now, so sleep's important because it restores vigorous activity, restores our what is it? Well, you tell me.
It replenishes and restores us. It allows us to integrate information from that day. It recharges us. It saves energy. And of course, for young people, it allows growth hormone to be released. And it has other protective mechanisms.
So you're saying if a child doesn't sleep enough, they may not grow to full height?
That's correct.
Wow. See, I didn't realize that. I mean, parents always say, you know, don't drink coffee, it'll stunt your growth. But nobody ever told me as a kid, you better get a full night's sleep or you're not going to grow to be very tall.
Yes, it's important. Sleep is very important. And for kids, they need more than adults. So when you're an infant, you may sleep 18 hours a day, 16, 18 hours. As you get to be an adolescent, you still need 9 to 10 hours, but they cheat it. And they get only 6 to 7 hours.
I've always thought it would be cool to be 7'4". I guess I just didn't get enough sleep, huh?
Well, it may have helped, but maybe only another inch or two.
I think in my case, it was probably not going to happen. You know how they say you could do anything you want if you just work hard enough at it? It's not true. I can't be 7'4", unless I'm wearing stilts or something.
Yeah.
Anyway, so basically what it comes down to is without sleep, we die.
Correct.
And sleep, we cheat it all the time. We take it for granted. I'm actually guilty of this. I stay up too late. I get up too early. And I'm looking at that look in your eyes like I better stop that right now.
Well,
right?
The reality is your performance will go down. Yeah. You're not going to be at your peak performance unless you sleep.
So is there no such thing as people that don't need as much sleep as others?
Well, there's a genetic variation, and some people can get away with being sleep deprived better than others.
But it's all still sleep deprived, is what you're saying.
Yes, we're actually chronically, as a nation, we're chronically sleep deprived. Before the light bulb came, we were sleeping 10 hours a night.
Now
we're down to, according to studies, 7 hours and less during the week, and we make up with a few more minutes on weekends.
I don't think I ever get 7 hours of sleep.
You're sleep deprived.
I'm sleep deprived.
You know, if you want the longest survival, you're going to try to sleep for 7 hours a night.
Wow. Now, insomnia, which is people that can't sleep, they have a good reason. I mean, I don't sleep because I'm working. I'm either doing payroll or I'm looking at x-rays or, you know, that kind of paperwork. I feel like I have no choice. But there are people that have the time to sleep, but they can't.
Yeah, there's two major types of insomnia. There's sleep onset and sleep maintenance insomnia. And then there's, of course, people that wake up and don't feel rested, or people that wake up early. And there's many causes of insomnia. And if you look at the research, it ranges between 5% of the population and 50%.
Wow.
You may go, well, why is there such a variation?
Yeah.
And it depends on your criteria for inclusion.
Okay.
In other words, how many nights a week do you have poor sleep? And whether or not it's been going on for a period of months or weeks or days.
Now, right before I wake up, it seems like that's when I'm most restless. I think I had a good night. For example, last night, I think I had a good night's sleep. But I distinctly remember this morning, before waking up, kind of a little bit tossing and turning, and thinking to myself, did I oversleep? You know, what time do I need to get up? And do I need to use the restroom? Things like that. To where when I actually got up, I didn't really feel refreshed. Was I like that all night? It wasn't just the last 5 or 10 minutes?
Our sleep runs in cycles. As adults, it's about a 90-minute cycle. And during that cycle, we go from light sleep into deep or restful sleep. So we get more restful sleep at the beginning of the night.
So every 90 minutes, we have another cycle.
Yes, and during that cycle, we'll cycle into REM, which is rapid eye movement sleep, which is your dream sleep.
Okay.
And then you'll go back up into the different levels. And during that 90 minutes, you can fluctuate between light, which is stage one sleep, and the restful slow wave or delta sleep, which is stage 3-4. And during the night, we're going to have more restful delta sleep in the early part of our sleep shift. And at the late part, when we're waking up in the morning, we have longer periods of REM.
Okay, and the REM is really, we need to reach REM in order to wake up rested?
Well, actually, slow wave sleep is that sense
of
restfulness.
Oh, the one right before REM.
Yes, REM is important to integrate memory, like we said.
And that's right. You have to get into that, okay.
Yes, but the reality is that you can live without REM sleep. There are people that have survived without getting REM sleep. They've had damage to the brain and they don't get it. Without slow wave sleep, though, you just feel like a wreck. You could be in bed asleep for 10 to 12 hours and get out of bed and go to work the next day and just feel like a wreck because you had no slow wave restful sleep. And unfortunately, as you get older, you tend to get a little bit less of that slow wave sleep.
Yeah, I think I'm one of them. And then we have things in our lives that kind of mess things up, like people that have to work the night shift.
Yes, and circadian rhythm problems
are significant.
Well, you have to figure that we've got an internal clock
that
sort of guides us into sleep. And we want to sleep usually when the sun goes down. So you would say in the evening, certainly between 10 and 6 a.m. are times where we want to be asleep. But also we have a sort of a lull in the early afternoon, like between 2 and 3 o'clock.
I'm not sure if you're aware of this. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But those are natural lulls. And, you know, it's interesting because those are the times where traffic accidents and other accidents tend to happen in a higher percentage of the time.
Okay. Are you familiar with, has there ever been a study of someone who, they put them in a dark room, maybe like a cave where you're not aware of when sun up and sundown is, to see if that person stays with the same sleep cycle that they should have, or do they soon get disoriented and it doesn't matter when they sleep?
No, they typically do have a 24 and a bit hour cycle, and it tends to be fairly stable. But unless you have light, your circadian rhythm doesn't stay as stable. In other words, we're oriented a little bit by light. So the people that change time zones, it's the light that helps them get back onto the other zone. And it may take a day for every hour you're off of the time schedule.
That explains why when I get back to Columbus, Ohio, it takes me about 3 days because I'm 3 hours.
Yeah, it's called
different phase
shifting.
Okay.
And you've got to figure airline pilots and business people that travel a lot from one country to another, they're always fighting this because their circadian rhythm is not following the light, the daylight timing.
So that person in the cave, for example, there might be artificial lights that they could turn on and off whenever they want. Do you know for sure if that person or people would mimic what they were living above ground, let's say, or would they gradually get confused and it wouldn't really matter? They might think the daylight is 3 a.m. to, I don't know, what, 12 hours later, 3 p.m.
It would take a while for them to lose
the normal circadian rhythm?
Yes, because our circadian rhythm is not exactly 24 hours.
Okay.
It's a few minutes more. So they would gradually go off it, but they would stay fairly stable.
Interesting. Now, I think you said 1/3 of the U.S. population has sleep disorders, right?
Yes, it's enormous.
1/3 of the U.S. population, that's 100 million people.
Correct.
All right. Does the U.S. government recognize the prevalence of sleep disorders? Do they understand how big of a problem this is?
Yeah, there's been several major studies by the U.S. government. There was one by the National Heart, Lung, Blood Institute. They published something in 2003, and then there was the another report in 2006. I can't remember the name. But basically, these reports talk about the impact of sleep disorders. And typically, we've got 50 to 70 million people affected by sleep disorders. And that's a conservative estimate by these studies. And
When did the government first become aware of this as an issue, and I guess what are they doing about it now?
Well, in 1993, Congress had they wanted a study of sleep disorders, and they put out some, I guess they had a committee that was led by William Dement, who's sort of the father of sleep in American history, and they came up with conclusions that there was a vast problem, that it wasn't met by current health professionals.
Now, the government doesn't conclude anything on their own, do they? Somebody had to tell them.
Well, they're not experts in the field.
Well, so was there a group of, there was a professional organization that said, hey, we're seeing a lot of sleep disorder, breathing, we're seeing a lot of sleep apnea. We think this could be a big problem. Well, we know it's a big problem in, as far as health goes.
Yeah, they put together a commission of experts. As I said, uh-huh. And they did some research, and they published the research in, they published it in 1993. They put their conclusions out at that time, but they had started the study some years earlier.
And so right now, today, we'll say 2010, what's being done to track or to treat or to, make us all healthier and safer when it comes to sleep apnea or sleep disordered breathing?
Well, they recognized there were serious problems. There was a lack of education, there was a lack of awareness, there was a lack of experts, and they made suggestions to have changes. And unfortunately, it takes funding to make this happen, and they didn't give sufficient funding or any funding of significance, and so the changes have not been affected.
Okay. So the problems then that we are facing as far as this sleep apnea, disordered breathing. One is the existing approaches by dentistry. So I think you said off the air that by age 60, 60% of men and 40% of women will snore habitually.
Yeah, so let me just back you up a little bit, because there's a few major problems in sleep disorders. And just to give you a sense of it, we spoke about insomnia, which is a major player. Another major player that we mentioned was circadian rhythm problems with our timing and our phase shifting. And a third one that's a major player is sleep-related breathing disorders. And these range from snoring to sleep apnea and more serious things than even severe sleep apnea.
Okay.
And then the fourth one that's a major player would be movement disorders such as restless leg. Restless leg syndrome that happens during the night is called periodic limb movement disorder. And you know, if you have a leg that twitches or an arm that moves around during your sleep 10 or 20 or 30 times an hour, it can wake you up and it can wake your bed partner up.
You know, when that first came out, I'll have to tell you, I'm almost embarrassed to say this, but I thought it was just another one of those diseases created by a drug company to get us to buy the drugs.
Yeah.
And maybe some of my listeners are thinking the same thing. But there have been instances when I just could not get comfortable just sitting watching a football game with my at the recliner, in the
yes.
recliner. And I move my leg, and it only
restless leg syndrome is a major issue. It affects about 10% of our older population.
I realize that now. Yeah, I mean it's amazing. It's like where did this disease come from? Because I'd never heard of it, and now all of a sudden I seem to have it.
Yeah, you'll get an irresistible urge that you have to move your limb or your leg, and by doing that, it sort of stops the problem for a little while. Usually happens more in the evening, and it happens to older
so
people.
So, what do we think causes it?
Well, there's different causes. One is an iron deficiency.
Okay.
There are neurotransmitter issues. This is an area where movement disorder neurologists are more expert than me. But
okay.
I'm just saying that it is a major issue, and it does reflect in sleep. And if you don't have restful sleep because you're waking up frequently because you're moving,
mm-hmm.
then you're going to still be sleep deprived, and you're still going to have issues during the day with your functioning.
Now, I just realized that we've talked for several minutes. You're a dentist, I'm a dentist, and I'm wondering if the listeners are wondering, what are we talking about? This is a dental show. So let's explain why this is important to dental patients.
Well, the impact that dentists can have is that snoring and sleep apnea are reflections of limitation in breathing in the upper airway. When
okay.
I'm talking about the upper airway, I'm talking about from the back of the nose down to where the airway is supported by cartilage. So
okay.
it's a distance where your vocal cords are and where the back of your tongue is. And this is an area where dentists look every day.
Right.
And they can look at the airway if they're trained to and see whether there's restriction. Now, dentists can definitely screen and catch these things and work with a physician to treat these problems. And dentists can actually have significant impact in treating snoring to sleep apnea. And this approach is sort of multifold. The main thing that dentists do is they make oral appliances which fit in the mouth
right.
and either bring the jaw, the mandible forwards, and by doing that they bring the tongue out of the throat, opening the airway, or they use tongue guiding appliances which grab the tongue or hold the tongue or guide the tongue into a forwards position. Both ways enlarge the airway by getting the tongue out of the airway and changing the way the pharyngeal muscles are responding. So that's one major play by
okay.
dentists in affecting snoring and sleep apnea. Another is surgeries. There are surgeries done by maxillofacial surgeons that bring the mandible and the maxilla forwards, and by doing that again, they'll bring the tongue, which is connected to the mandible.
Is that a
forwards.
Sliding osteotomy on the lower and a Lafort type one on the upper? Is that what you mean?
Yes, we're
okay.
talking about bone surgeries that actually right. move the bones and the muscles that are attached to the bones.
Okay.
And the third thing that dentists can do is, especially in children, is be involved with expanding the actual arches, the bones that encase the teeth, making them larger. So if somebody's got a crowded mouth, they can expand that.
Mm-hmm.
And
palatal expander, for example.
Correct.
Okay. And the roof of the mouth is the floor of the nose.
Correct.
The nasal sinus. So if you have a high palatal vault, you, by definition, have less space in the nasal sinuses, correct?
Yes, and what happens is, if you look at the studies, you'll see that the combination of tonsillectomy along with palatal expansion is very powerful in affecting change in children that have
right.
snoring and sleep apnea. And even now we're looking at the bruxing, which is the grinding of the teeth that children do, and we're going, well, if we alter their airway, does it reduce their grinding? And there's some evidence to show that it can.
I was going to say, the jury's still out, but we're thinking that it can?
Yes, it's a very good approach, because if somebody has enlarged tonsils and let's say they're sleeping with their head and neck extended to open the airway,
right.
it's an indicator that they're having trouble with breathing and they're sort of adapting and changing their position to enlarge their airway to have better breathing at night.
Because when I was in dental school, we were told that children brux, they squeak, they grind their teeth together because they can, because the anatomy of primary teeth is flatter. They don't really lock in like adult teeth do. If you close your mouth as an adult, you can't really slide side to side without opening, but a child can. But now you're finding that that's not the case. The ones that squeak, that grind their teeth together, most likely have an obstruction of their airway in some place.
Well, I'm not saying most likely. I'm saying it's
possible.
Yes, it's a contributor, and I think you'll have some patients that will respond. This isn't a one-to-one thing. There are lots of reasons that children grind. It may be related to their architecture of their sleep. Could be related to anxiety, nervousness. Even young children have fears, and some of their phobias are quite significant.
So they're like acting out their dreams, and they're clenching because they might be running from a bear or something in their dream.
Well, in their dreams, they're going to be paralyzed. Remember, there's a protective reflex during sleep when we dream that we don't live out our dreams, because otherwise we would do damage to ourselves.
Oh,
we might
okay.
go chasing some tiger or running away from an intruder. So we're disengaged with our skeletal muscles. But yes, it's true that certain forms of sleep and anxiety are associated with increased muscle activity patterns like clenching and grinding of the teeth.
Okay. Now, I have several more questions for you. But what I want to do is go to a break. So if you can hang with me, can you stay
sure.
with me? Okay. Hang on just a second. You're listening to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, and we'll be right back.
Stay tuned to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko.
Canton City Chinese Restaurant is an established, family-owned and operated Chinese restaurant. You can come and sit down and enjoy the relaxed atmosphere of the Canton City, or if you're on the go or need lunch for your office or dinner for home, call us at 614-261-0262 to order takeout. We have a variety of Cantonese, Hunan, and Sichuan cuisine. You will love the price and be astonished how generous the portions are. Come visit us in our fantastic location at 4330 North High Street, located just south of Henderson in Clintonville. We are open 7 days a week. If you cannot pick from our extensive menu, we would suggest you start with our General Tso chicken. It is the best in the city. When you are craving Chinese food and have tried all the rest, come and order from the best, Canton City Chinese Restaurant in Clintonville. Call us at 614-261-0262 or stop by and see us at 4330 North High Street.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Hi, I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko. Have you always wanted a smile makeover but didn't know where to go or if you could afford it? Well, take heart. Here at Dr. Kvitko Mentness & Associates, we've been doing successful smile makeovers for decades. Stop in and see our vast library of actual before and after photos, or see a small sampling of them at drkvitko.com. Plus, we've made them affordable. Whether you choose the low monthly payments or having your makeover done in phases to spread your cost over time, I know you'll be happy with your new smile. So what are you waiting for? You know you're worth it. Pick up the phone and call us at 614-262-9588. That's 614-262-9588. It's a call that's guaranteed to put a smile on your face.
Dr. Kvitko & Associates.
Your lipstick stains on the front lobe of my left side brains. I knew I wouldn't forget you, and so I went and let you blow my mind.
Welcome back to Dentally Speaking. I am here with Dr. Michael Simmons, DMD, practicing in, I forget, where did you tell me you practice?
In Southern California, in Tarzana and in Palmdale. And I
That's
teach
right.
at UCLA and USC.
That's right. I never didn't ask you, did I? So you have two offices.
Two offices,
Tarzana
yes.
and Palmdale, and then you teach at USC.
And UCLA.
And UCLA. Wow. Those schools are competitors, aren't they? Wouldn't
right.
that be like teaching at Michigan and Ohio State?
Right. I don't have a bias.
And do they know you do both?
Yes.
Okay, do you have one of those shirts, those jerseys that is half UCLA and half USC?
I try to avoid that sort of conflict.
Okay, all right. Well, before the break, we were about to get on to a topic that I'm very interested in, and I know it's kind of near and dear to your heart, and that is snoring. And tell me, you know, okay, decibels, for example, jackhammer is 83 decibels, right?
85, yeah.
85 decibels. A lawnmower is how many decibels?
I think it's 95.
95, okay. And an airplane is 118, right?
Yes.
Okay. And the loudest snore on record is?
I think it's 93 decibels.
93 decibels.
And you can look that up in the Guinness Book of Records.
In the Guinness Book of World Records list. Did you guys hear what I just said? There's a person who snores louder or almost as loud as a lawnmower and just a little bit louder than a jackhammer. Wow. Now, what was the previous record?
Well, there was a guy in Scotland at Hebert Castle that was snoring at 87 decibels. And the interesting thing about him, he did hold the record before. His wife was deaf in the ear that slept towards him.
So he caused her deafness? Or was she deaf and that's why they're not divorced? We don't know.
I don't know if it was an adaptive response, but it's an interesting coincidence. And I look at it as secondhand snoring is also dangerous.
Yeah, really. And in the United States, 87 million people snore and 45 do so every night. 45 million of those do
Correct.
So every night. And then you said 24% of men, 9% of women have signs of obstructive sleep apnea on testing.
Now, what that means is that they will stop breathing for 10 seconds or more, or they'll have reduced breathing, and each of those things is called an event, and they'll
Right.
have more than five or more events per hour averaged out the whole night.
You know, there are times when I'm trying to, say, take a photograph using the mirror so I can get the occlusal arch, you know, I put the mirror in the mouth and it fogs up. And so there are times when I'll have to ask the patient, can you just hold your breath for a little bit? People can't hold their breath for 10 seconds without feeling inconvenienced. And you're saying that how many times a night they will stop breathing for 10 seconds?
Well, 10 seconds is the minimum time for what's called an apneic event.
But so sometimes it's longer?
Yeah, these people will actually stop breathing typically for around 30 seconds and some up to 2 minutes. And it's very disconcerting to the bed partner when you see your partner stop breathing.
Yeah, you think the person just died.
Yes, they do shake them and wake them up.
Because when I was younger, I did a lot of swimming. When I'd become a lifeguard and a water safety instructor, and I enjoyed swimming underwater. I was in great shape looking back, and I could dive in off the diving board at one end of the pool, swim underwater all the way to the one end, and staying underwater, not coming up for air, turn around, kick off, and swim all the way back two lengths of the pool underwater.
Yes.
And I don't think that took me 2 minutes to do. I'm pretty sure it didn't. And it was, by the time I came up, I needed air.
Yes, you don't have the same protective reflexes either when you're asleep. So what happens is the oxygen level goes down in your bloodstream, and this intermittent reduction in oxygen called an intermittent hypoxia actually causes damage. It causes damage to the cardiovascular system, and it causes damage to brain cells.
Wow. I need to start getting more sleep, or I'm just going to get dumber every year. I'm pretty sure that I need to change my ways. Okay, now, you also are very passionate about people driving drowsing, so much so that you wrote a book. It's called Bots Dots. But before we talk about the book, let's talk about a little bit of background. I know you mentioned that the National Highway Transportation Safety Administration came out with an estimate of how many crashes per year are caused by drowsy drivers.
Yes.
And do you remember what that number is?
Well, that number is 100,000 a year, but it's grossly understated. It turns out that they were estimating, and they came up with around 1-2% of accidents, motor vehicle accidents, were caused by drowsy driving.
But the real answer is?
It's closer to 20%.
20%.
And we see that in other countries like Finland and England and Australia, where they have better tracking of what the cause of the accident was. And we also know there was a study, Virginia Tech did a 100-car monitoring real-life study where they came up with how many percent of accidents were caused and where drowsy driving was involved. And you can see these videos of people falling asleep and driving. It wasn't that uncommon. And it was around 20% too.
Wow. So that's one-fifth. And that would be, I don't know what the statistics would be on injuries from 20% of all accidents being caused by drowsy driving.
Well, we have to figure that it's about, I'll give you another statistic. The National Sleep Foundation in 2005 did a survey, and it was over 100 million people in the United States that admitted driving drowsy, and over 60 million admitted to falling asleep while driving in the previous year, at least one time.
So a third of the U.S. population, and many of those aren't even old enough to drive. So when we say a third of the U.S. population, that's not even an accurate number.
It was over 60% of the drivers.
Wow. Okay.
And there's over 130 million drivers.
That's amazing. And so lots of deaths, lots of injuries.
Yes, it's interesting because Mothers Against Drunk Driving, which came into being around 1981, and they've done a phenomenal job of altering the fabric of society and our views of drunk driving. They have approximately 15,000 deaths attributed to drunk driving. Well, it was the National Highway Traffic Safety Association that thought, well, instead of 15,000 deaths according to drunk driving, we thought it was 1,550 deaths with drowsy driving. But we were only looking at about 1 to 2%. If you multiply that by 10 to 20 times, you're going to come up with a number of deaths associated with drowsy driving that's even greater than drunk driving.
So somewhere between 15 and 30,000 deaths.
We're talking about a bigger number even than the 15,000 deaths attributed to drunk driving. And in fact, here's another very interesting thing is if you are awake for a period of time of 22 hours or more, you are driving essentially with a blood alcohol level of 0.08 and above. You have the same judgment, the same impairment, the same reduced reaction time. And so people don't know that. So they will have a long day and they will maybe party that night and drive home late. Or even teenagers going through a prom or something will drive very late. And there's a much, much higher chance of a motor vehicle accident. And the combination of even one drink and drowsiness multiplies the danger. And in fact, when we look at drowsy driving and who's affected most, we have a study done in North Carolina, I believe, where they found that over 50% of the drowsy driving accidents were caused by 25 and under age group, and of those, over 75% were male.
Wow. Now, you said something about how it's 21 hours or 22 hours of driving or being awake is like driving as a 0.08 alcohol.
And that's the blood alcohol level that's considered driving under
legally
the influence.
Drunk. Okay. I have a story I want to tell you in just a second, so I think we have to go to a break soon. And when we come back, I want to tell you that story.
Stay tuned for more of Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko after these messages.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Hi, I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko. Are your teeth worn down or have crack lines in them? Have years of drinking coffee and tea or smoking darkened your teeth? Do you feel that you look older than your age? Do you remember when your teeth were an asset, when your smile would light up the room? With porcelain veneers, we can make your teeth sparkle again. Stop in and see our vast library of actual before and after photos, or see a small sampling of them at drkvitko.com. Plus, our available low monthly payments make them affordable. So what are you waiting for? You know you're worth it. Pick up the phone and call us at 614-262-9588. That's 614-262-9588. It's a call that is guaranteed to put a smile on your face.
Dr. Kvitko and Associates.
Looking for that perfect gift? Something different that your friends will love? Moxie's in Clintonville has just what you're looking for. Moxie specializes in entertainment, barware, dishware, and linens, both new and vintage. They carry Fiesta, Hearthstone, and signature products. Moxie's also has the ideal host or hostess gifts. Wrap candies, including wax lips, bubblegum cigars, ring pops, and charm bracelets and necklaces. If you have no room to entertain, no problem. Moxie's has the room for you to host. The soiree room features black and white striped floors, Hollywood style seating, and a private outdoor deck. It's great for your next book or card gathering, birthday, or bridal shower. So when you're looking for a place to host some friends or looking for that perfect gift, go to Moxie's in Clintonville. Moxie's, 3339 North High Street, open Tuesday through Saturday. For more information and hours, call 657-6854, 657-6854.
As you go along, keep smiling at trouble, for trouble is a bubble.
Welcome back to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko. I am talking to Dr. Michael Simmons, DMD. We're talking about sleep apnea, and we're talking about sleep-disordered breathing. And right before the break, we were talking about how driving drowsy for, say, 21 hours is the same as driving with a 0.08 blood alcohol level. And so I mentioned to Dr. Simmons, I mentioned to you I had a story I wanted to tell. I'm a little embarrassed, but I'm going to tell you anyway. And that is, I went to Marco Island, Florida with my family, and I have an RV. And I usually, when I travel, especially when the kids were little, didn't have a lot of time away from the office, so I would have to get home, you know. We'd have to, like, basically I'd drive all night. So when we left Marco Island, I drove straight 21 and a half hours. We did only have to stop. We had to stop for fuel once. But just once, because I had something like 1,000 gallons, not 1,000 gallons. I had a bunch of fuel. I could go almost 1,000 miles in the RV. So obviously you're telling me that I shouldn't do that. And so let me think. Okay, so I've stopped for fuel, and I need to, while I'm filling up, I need to drink 2 cups of coffee, and then I'll be fine?
Well, during that time, I would even have a nap. Because it takes about 20 to 30 minutes for the effects of the caffeine to kick in.
Should I have a nap before I take the coffee so that I get the 20 minutes? Or isn't that caffeine going to be in my body a little bit keeping me awake? Or?
Well, probably not.
Probably not.
It takes 20 to 30 minutes, but both things help.
Okay.
Just if you're going to take a nap, you should get up and walk around afterwards because you have something called sleep inertia.
Okay.
And that means you're awake, but you're still a little groggy. And you don't want to be driving at 65 miles an hour a little groggy.
Right.
So overcome the sleep inertia. Both things can work. If you just take a nap, it can work. If you have the coffee, it can work.
Okay.
If you do both things, it's going to be a little bit more powerful.
Okay. Now, it's a motorhome, so I do actually have the ability to switch drivers. I also have the ability to pull over at a rest stop and actually sleep prone in a bed, you know, which is better sleep than sitting up in the car seat, right? Because if somebody's traveling and you say take a 20-minute nap, is that really effective if you're just sitting in your car seat? Should you lay down in the back seat or what?
Well, you're not going into slow wave restful sleep. You're really just having a cat nap, as it were.
Okay.
But what happens is it does restore you.
Okay. Okay. So I'm still okay. And then, of course, switching drivers like we have the ability to do.
See, the problem is when you drive drowsy is you don't realize how much impact it's having.
Right.
You're not exercising the same judgment, and you feel like, oh, I can go another mile, I can go another stop, another off-ramp. And what happens is you probably continue to hit the little rumble zones and you get honked because you're veering. And the reality is, how many times do you think you can do that before you actually do nod off and you're driving asleep? Now, if you're driving asleep, you're more dangerous than driving drunk.
Why's that?
Well, when you're drunk, your eyes are open, you can maybe have slower reactions, but you have a reaction. When you're asleep, you have no reaction. That means
you drive
off the road, you take no aversive action.
Totally defenseless.
Absolutely.
Now, I'll tell you about those rumble strips on the side of the road, and I know that your book deals with them because they're called Bott Stots, named after the gentleman that invented them back in, what, 1963,
yes,
was it?
Dr. Botts. He was a Caltrans worker and a chemist.
Okay.
And he came up with these little dots that were meant to distinguish,
like,
lanes.
Yeah, they're white for the white lines and yellow for yellow lines.
Yes.
And if your tires hit them, it makes a rumbling sound.
Yes, that was one of those fortuitous things. They didn't design them as a way to wake people up.
Oh.
But what happened was it was just one of those things that happened, and it was very effective. Now, there are rumble strips, which are slightly different, which are on the side of the road, and when your tires go over them, it makes a rumbling noise. So there's two different things.
Right.
But
are
driving
carved into the concrete or
that's
something.
Correct.
Yeah. Now, as somebody who prefers to drive through the night, and from now on I'll make sure I get a good nap before I leave, or a good sleep, when there's a construction zone, and it's in the middle of the night, and my family might be asleep, and they have had to shift lanes, you know, and I'm driving over these rumble strips, and it scares the family into thinking that I've run off the road when I'm just following the path that the construction guys, the orange barrels, have made me follow. So there's a little bit of a negative effect of those. But
well, we're not talking about hitting the rumble zone or the Bott Stots once. We're talking about if you're doing it several times, okay, and within a period of time. So let's say you hit the rumble zone or the rumble line once and then an hour later again. That's not the same thing as every 2 or 3 minutes.
Oh, okay. I get it. All right. And I will say that they have caused me to realize that I was too tired to be driving, and I did pull over. And my wife is a big proponent of making sure I pull over when I'm tired.
Yes, plan the trip ahead of the time, right, so you don't keep going. Because what's your end point? Your end point is either you're going to reach the destination or you're going to kill yourself.
And
so,
my family, if they're with me, right?
Yeah, and perhaps somebody and innocent that's
innocent
driving another
car.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's very good advice, and I'm... And again, I feel like I need to apologize to you for driving drowsy.
Well, just don't do it again.
Okay. And so let's talk about the book. And at least I'm being honest, though, right?
Correct.
I'm one of those 60% of the people admitted to driving drowsy?
Well, yes, 60% or more admitted to driving drowsy in the last year.
Oh, and then how many said they admitted to having fallen asleep? Is
37%.
See, I'm pretty sure I'm one of those, too.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I'm one of those. That's how I knew it was time to pull over, though.
Well, let me tell you, I teach dental students, and I teach them 8 hours of dental sleep medicine. That's at UCLA. And at the end of the course, I ask for a show of hands of how many of these young dental students, and they're under 25, have fallen asleep. And invariably, I get more than 25% of them admitting to falling asleep in the last year.
And that's in person, where with like a show of hands, where normally people wouldn't admit.
Correct.
You'd probably hire if you did it anonymously, right? If you just had
right, if they were under a lie detector format.
Maybe even more like 75% or something.
Well, I'm not sure I could give you a better statistic, but I'm sure it's higher.
So this book, let's talk about the book. It's called Bots Dots, and we've already talked about it. It came from Dr. Botts, who worked for he was an engineer with the California Highway...
Caltrans.
Transportation Department.
Yes.
And it says Bots Dots and the Rumble Line, How They Save the Trees in Snortem. And it's very cute, and it talks about how each morning people noticed they'd wake up and there would be 2 or 3 trees gone. They'd fallen over.
Yes, it's a mystery, and it's geared towards first to third grade level. And the idea is that it's got some words in there that are a little challenging, so they'll have the parent read it with them. And my thought here was, how do you reach the population and get the message out? And it's an important message.
It is.
And I figured, well, if I can't reach our current adult generation, maybe I can reach future generations. So it's a non-threatening story because it's a serious topic. And the way I came up with it, I guess, is I woke up one morning with, I'm going to reach the children. And
yes.
So I put this book together, and I was fortunate enough to have a very talented illustrator.
Yes.
And so far, the feedback's been very good.
It's great. And I'm going to ask you to autograph this for me, if you will, when
happily
we go off the air. And I encourage people to get it and to read it. And if somebody wants to get a copy of this book, how would they do that?
Well, the hardcover version can be found if you go to the website Snordom, snordom.com. And the soft cover is available at Amazon.
Oh, okay. And there's no Ian Snortem, right?
Yeah. No Ian Snortem. That website was already taken.
Okay. So you actually had to name the book Snore Without the E because you'd figured out that the website was already taken?
That was one of the reasons,
yeah. Oh, that's funny. So a little side story, huh, that
correct
others don't know. And I think this ought to be in every children's section of the library. And probably should be required reading for the parents of every child. And I'll be sure to mention it in the book that I'm working on, which is a book in the working title is Dentistry for Children or for Kids, What Every Parent Should Know. And so I think every parent should know about this book.
Wonderful.
And with your permission, I will mention it in my book. Which
thank
is,
you.
Okay. Well, Dr. Simmons, it's been great getting to meet you, getting to interview you. I think it's great what you did with this book. I promise to be a better driver and not drive drowsy and to stop falling asleep at the wheel. And I hope my listeners do the same thing. And remember, Dr. Simmons is a dentist, and yet he is working hard to save lives through sleep-disordered breathing, working on sleep-disordered breathing, and to encourage people to not drive drowsy. So Anyway, again, thanks for being on the show. And if somebody wanted to reach you, besides going to snortum.com for the book, is there a way that you can be reached or you'd like to be reached?
I have an office phone number.
Okay, if you want to give it out on the air, you can. If you
don't. That's 818.
Okay.
300.
Yes.
0070.
Okay, so if somebody wants to learn more about sleep disordered breathing, the statistics that you have mentioned with me about driving drowsy, falling asleep at the wheel, box dots and the rumble line, any of that, they can give you a call. And
the website snortum.com has some interesting information.
Does it?
It's an interactive website. It's got some games, driving games for kids, and it's got a library, an information library, and dental information. So it's good for adults too.
Good.
And it's like a virtual town, and you can visit restaurants, and there's recipes in there that are relevant to the story.
Cool. And you know what I think I might do? Is I might take one and donate it to my local library.
Please do, yes.
Because we have an event coming up, the Columbus Rotary, Clintonville Rotary, which I'm a member of, is having an event where we're inviting local authors to come, and we're going to have story time and book signings and things. So, and we want to raise as much money as we can to be able to donate as many books as we can to the library. So that's where that one is going to go. Okay?
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thanks for being on the show. Very much appreciated.
It was a pleasure.
Okay. Well, I learned a lot. I hope that was helpful and insightful for you as well. I did not know that driving drowsy would be the same as driving drunk. That 0.08 alcohol level is pretty amazing to me. So what I want to do, we have about 15 minutes left in our hour, and I want to do something that is fun. What I want to do is get everybody involved, so get your phone out, and I want you to call me. I want you to call 459-9769. That happens to be 459-WSNY. And what I want you to tell me when you call is what makes you smile. Okay, I just want you to just call in, tell me what makes you smile. What we're going to do, instead of having a Dr. Kvitko's question of the day today, we're going to take all of the callers' names and phone numbers, and at the end of the show, we're going to put everybody's name in a hat, and we're going to pull out a name and a number, and the person whose name and number we call will win free flowers from Weistember Florist delivered to your place of business this Tuesday afternoon. Okay, so all the callers' names go into a hat. One of you is going to win free flowers from Weistember. The number is 459-9769. You're going to tell us what makes you smile. Call now.
Like what you hear? Why not use the Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko show to reach your customers by becoming a sponsor? Learn how by calling 262-9588. That's 262-9588.
Experience, artistry, creativity. There are still professions where these words mean something. Studio B Hair Design still believe that practice does make perfect. Whether it's a precision cut, custom color, or something uniquely your own, Studio B can help you find just the right look, all in a comfortable, relaxing atmosphere right in the heart of Clintonville. Let Studio B Hair Design give you the best professional hair care at the best price. And should you need a quick gift idea, why not give a Studio B gift certificate for a birthday, anniversary, or subtle way of telling that special someone your hair needs help? So when looking for a fresh approach to your hair, do what lots of people do in Central Ohio. Trust experience. Trust the professionals at Studio B Hair Design. Studio B Hair Design, 21 Brighton Road, just off High Street in Clintonville. Call for your appointment now, 614-263-8661. 263-8661.
Dentally Speaking is his talk show. Dr. Kvitko. Let's go!
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Hi, I'm General Dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko. Are you an adult with teeth that are crooked? Maybe you had braces as a kid, but you didn't wear your retainer as often as you should have? Or maybe your parents weren't able to offer you braces as a child. Well, take heart. Now you can have straight teeth in 6 months. That's right. Using clear brackets and tooth-colored wires, we can straighten your teeth before it's even time for your next cleaning. So, if you have a high school reunion, a graduation party, or even a wedding in your future, why not let us straighten, then whiten your teeth? Interested? Call us to schedule a no-charge 6-month Smiles consultation at 614-262-9588. That's 614-262-9588.
Dr. Kavitko and Associates.
And welcome back to Dentally Speaking. You all make me smile by listening. And we have on the phone with us Holly. And Holly, how are you, Holly?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for calling. Can you please tell me what makes you smile?
There are so many things that make me smile. But right now, I have to say, it's playing with my little 2-year-old. She makes me smile for different reasons every day.
It's either some new word or some new toy that she's figured out?
That's right. Just seeing the world through fresh eyes is just a refreshing thing, and it again brings a smile to my face every day.
Yeah, it makes you feel. It keeps you young, doesn't it? Because you want to take her to the zoo. You want to do all those places that you've already been, but it's going to be neat to watch her eyes light up.
And things that we take for granted, right? That remind you, wow, that is a neat thing, or that is a neat way to look at the world. So it's great.
Very good. Hey, Holly, now, as we mentioned, thank you for calling. We're going to, you may get a call later from me if you are the winner of the, when we pull names out of the hat. So kind of, just so you know, my phone comes up private, blocked. I'm not a telemarketer, okay?
Fair enough. Have a great day.
You too. All right. Bye now. Okay. And while my producer is answering the phone, we're going to go ahead and play a recording. I've managed to interview people from around the country, asking them what makes them smile. So let's go ahead and listen to that.
My name is Rita Edwards, and I'm from Ada, Oklahoma. And what makes me smile is my husband, because he's a dentist, and he's looking at me back there. But he gave me my pretty smile. I used to have a big gap in between my teeth, and he did orthodontics for me and all porcelain veneers. So now I have a beautiful smile. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Maria, and I'm from Mississauga, Canada. And what makes me smile is working for Dr. Rodriguez and team.
Sounds like she wants a raise.
Hi, my name is Dr. William Rodriguez, and I'm from Mississauga, Canada. And what makes me smile is working with these lovely team members that I have with me that always makes me come here every year. Thanks.
Now, where's Canada? Where in Canada?
Mississauga, the suburb of Toronto.
Oh, okay. Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
I'm Fat Paulina Orozco from California, and what makes me smile is my fun dentist, Dr. Amir Saz.
My name is Sylvia Contreras, and I'm from Gardena, California, and what makes me smile is going to work and seeing my coworkers every day.
Andre, I'm from Grass Valley, California, and what makes me smile is being here with my friends at this conference.
Hello, my name is Roxanne Rizzinelli, and I'm from Grass Valley, California, and what makes me smile is all 10 of my children.
You have 10 children?
10 children, 2 grandchildren.
And you're still smiling.
Yes, I am. Well, 7 of them are not mine, they're stepchildren.
Oh, okay, well that's pretty cool.
Yes, they're awesome.
They're awesome?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
My name is Terry Pravasi, I'm from Grass Valley, California, and what makes me smile is kindness. When I see kindness.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Priscilla. I'm from Minnesota, and what makes me smile are my 2 boys.
Great. Thanks.
Hi, my name is Deanna Davis. I'm from the great state of Maine, and what makes me smile is just a pure fact that I have some white teeth.
And all of them, right?
That's right. In Maine, it's pretty highly unusual to have all your teeth.
I didn't know that. Okay, come on, Columbus. We want to hear what makes you smile, or Grove City, or Pickerington, or Upper Arlington, or Worthington, or Westerville, or Bexley, or Hilliard, Dublin, all of you folks. Pick up the phone. It's 459-9769. That's 459-WSNY. And again, while my producer is taking calls, we will listen to some others.
I'm David from North Mankato, Minnesota, and my employees make me smile.
Hi, my name's Marilyn. What makes me smile is funny doctors with microphones.
Asking people what makes them smile?
Ask people what makes them smile, yes.
I'm happy to have made you smile.
Gay, Louisville, Kentucky, my son makes me smile. My son.
How old is he?
25.
Okay, cool.
Hi, my name's Chris. I'm from Truckee, California, and my morning coffee makes me smile.
I'm David from Louisville, Kentucky, and travel makes me smile.
Thanks.
Hey, I'm Benny Edwards from Ada, Oklahoma, and what makes me smile is getting to bring my team here. and seeing them enjoy a couple of days of just us having fun and not hitting it quite so hard. So,
thank you.
My name is Wayne LeSueur. I'm a dentist in Tempe, Arizona, and I've just been asked what makes me smile, and that is all the great advances in dentistry today that enable us to provide reasonably pleasant and outstanding outcomes to the persons that really value dental health and just general appearance overall.
Thank you.
Hey, my name is Jessica. We're from Mesa, Arizona, and coffee in the morning makes me smile this early.
My name is Cynthia. I'm from San Francisco.
And what makes you smile, Cynthia?
Sephora.
Sephora. You know the perfume place, right?
Cosmetics, yeah.
Cosmetics. Okay, thank you.
It's a candy store for women.
Oh, I was going to say, I don't think they sell candy, but it's a candy store for women.
Yes.
I'm David from Florida, and everything makes me smile.
Cool.
Julie from the Outer Banks, North Carolina. And the Chevy Camaro makes me smile.
The new one?
The brand new one.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I love it.
Yvette from the Outer Banks, North Carolina. And what makes me smile is catching a big old fish.
Cool. So you're a big fish. What kind of fish do you usually catch?
Bluefish, red drum, tuna, dolphin.
Wow. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
And we have Judy on the phone. And Judy, you're going to tell us what makes you smile, right?
Right.
Okay. Go ahead.
The Lord working in people's lives, it makes me smile.
Do that again?
The Lord working in people's lives.
Oh,
makes
excellent.
Me smile.
Yeah, excellent. That's great. That's great. And as I mentioned earlier to Holly, my phone number comes up blocked. So later on, if you get a call, please answer it. And thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Hey, you're welcome. Okay, so we have just a couple more minutes. If people want to call in, you can. 459-9769. That's 459-WSNY. And I think I might use the time, the end of the show here, to say what makes me smile. The first thing that makes me smile is my wife. Been together for over 35 years, and I just couldn't be better. I think it's I'm just so happy to have found her. And I think a lot of times how life would be different had we not hooked up way back in high school. Actually, we dated when I was in 7th and she was in 6th, although she swears it was when I was in 6th and she was in 5th. But we weren't at the same school at that time, so it couldn't have been that. Anyway, but we only dated for 2 weeks, and then we got back together when I was a senior and she was a junior. Oh, gee, my kids, got 4 great kids. That seemed to be a theme as you were listening to a lot of the others. It's their children, their family. I have one grandchild, a little boy named Nikolai, and I just love the time that we get to spend together, and I can't wait to see him. We're going to see him not until Christmas, but can't wait for that. And, you know, I love the patients that I work on every day. I just love seeing the change that I'm able to make and the hugs that we get and the thank you cards and that sort of thing. I love when the sun comes up because I tease all the time. It's going to be a good day. If you can wake up and fog the mirror or you actually see the sun, it's going to be a great day. And by the way, if you look out today, it's a little bit overcast. But I just took my staff to a seminar. And one of the things that I pointed out to them, because part of the seminar was motivational and team building, and I pointed out to them that the sun is always shining. It is shining so bright right now. It's just amazing. The problem is we can't see it because we have clouds, but it's up there. And if you got in a plane and you went up through the clouds, maybe up to 4,000 or 5,000 feet, you would have to wear sunglasses. It's just so bright. In fact, I was leaning my head against the side window of the jet. I had the little pillow, you know, and I was awakened to this. It was hot. There was my ear was getting, it felt like it was going to get burnt. And I couldn't figure out what was happening. My pillow smelled like I was ironing it and pulled it away. And it turns out the sun was so bright that it had heated up the window. And I had my wife do this. I put my finger on it, and you can only put your finger on it for just a split second. It was so hot it would have burned my finger. And so just keep in mind that when you wake up, maybe you'll think it's going to be a dreary day because you don't see the sun. It's up there. It's shining bright. And that should put a smile on your face. You've been listening to Dentally Speaking here with Dr. Kvitko on Sunny 95. Appreciate you joining me. Tune in next week at 8 o'clock from 8 until 9 for another episode of Dentally Speaking.
Hey, this is Olympic snowboarder Louis Vito, and make sure you tune in next week to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko.
If you're interested in learning more about this and other dental health topics, go to dentallyspeaking.com to access full half-hour episodes of Dr. Kvitko's show.
If you would like to book Dr. Kvitko to speak at your next event, please call 614-262-9588. That's 614-262-9588. Or send an email to drkvitko@dentallyspeaking.com. That's drkvitko@dentallyspeaking.com.